Hello and welcome to the show, all my fellow fans of horror. First off, before we start off doing anything here, I want to apologize for not releasing this episode on Friday. As you will probably guess, it was school. Don't worry though, I'm gonna make it up to you guys. In case you're curious, yes, there will be a Halloween special, as I've mentioned before. And I know what you're thinking, is that gonna replace the Friday episode because Halloween is on a Saturday? So is there just gonna be one episode that week? No. There is going to be a normal podcast episode on Friday, and then the next day, Saturday, October 31st, there is going to be a Halloween special, and I'm going to have a very special guest on the podcast. It's a fellow horror content creator, and I think you guys are all going to like it. But now that we got that out of the way, if you don't know how these podcast episodes of Season 2 work, first we have this little introduction segment where I just say hello and give you all some quick little updates. Then we take a break, which allows me to thank a sponsor and allows you to get all situated. And then we move into the segment where I talk about some sort of horror trope or monster or genre. Now, with all that out of the way, I want you all to just sit back and relax, let in that beautiful moonlight, and forget all the stresses of today's world as I prepare to both entertain and horrify you. Alright, now with that all out of the way, let's get into today's topic. But first, I want to say, in case you're wondering why my voice maybe sounds a bit more clearer or just better overall, it's because I'm actually recording on an actual microphone now. I'm actually starting to seem like a somewhat professional podcast. In case you didn't know before, I recorded episodes either just on my phone, or they were just on like my laptop's microphone, which did not sound good. It made me sound like I was recording out of a white noise machine. But the show must go on. Anyway, with that out of the way. So as I've covered on this show, I've covered, you know, upcoming horror movies and just horror movies that I've recommended to you all. So today I figured I'd talk about some of my favorite horror movies of all time. And obviously I'm probably not going to remember everything. And also just keep in mind that this is my personal opinion. So if your favorite horror movie isn't on here, just keep that in mind. Just know that either I haven't seen it at all, so I couldn't put it on this list in the first place, or I just don't share your opinion. But anyway, let's start with some classics. The Friday the 13th franchise. Now, I love the Friday the 13th franchise. I like what it embodies, and I kind of like that it was one of the main franchises that sort of launched the slasher genre into the stratosphere in like the 80s and everything like that. And yes, I do know that the later parts get either terrible or just really, really strange. But I think it started off really well. I really like the first part. The first part is just, you know, it's a classic. Part two is good as well, and it's the one where we're introduced to Jason, you know, who's like the poster boy of the franchise. That's one thing that people don't, well, anyone who hasn't seen the movies or heard of the movies at least anyway doesn't know that the first one actually wasn't about Jason. His mom was the killer in that one. As for what parts are my favorite in the entire franchise, I've already touched upon this in a previous episode, but I'll say it again just in case you missed it. My favorite part is part six. I just like some of the like crazy action that happens in that film. Tommy's character is amazing. I thought he was acted really well.
that one cop who has like that laser beam sight on his pistol is amazing. I love him. It's just a good movie in my opinion. It's my favorite. If I had to pick a second favorite, it would have to be Part 4. Just, you know, for a lot of similar reasons. It's just really well done. It's really well acted. I like a lot of the characters in it. Again, Tommy, except this time he's kid, is still done really, really well. It's just a really good movie. We don't talk about Part 5. Part 5 doesn't exist. I have mixed feelings about Part 7. A lot of it I like and a lot of it I don't like. In a way, it's kind of a fan mashup, though, because there's a girl in that movie who has, like, telekinetic powers. So we, in a way, we kind of get to see what a fight between Carrie and Jason would be like, which is kind of cool. Of course, it's not actually Carrie. It's just another girl that has telekinetic powers, but, you know, still fun to think about. Part 8, where Jason takes Manhattan, is just weird. It's just weird in my opinion. I don't really have anything to say about it besides that. Some of the kills in that movie are pretty good, but other than that, it's just kind of weird. Part 9, where Jason goes to hell. It exists. It is, in fact, a movie. And it teased Freddy versus Jason, but that's really all I got to say about it. The one character that I really liked in that film is the bounty hunter guy. I can't think of his name right now, but I really liked him. And then Jason X, or Friday the 13th Part 10, where it's Jason in space. Yeah, that was dumb. Again, some of the kills in that movie are pretty good still, but it's just kind of, it's campy. I think that's the best way to sum it up, is campiness. But yeah, and then the remake, I actually like the remake, Killer Cut. Again, the kills in that movie are really good, especially the one where, like, he traps a girl in a sleeping bag and, like, has the sleeping bag, like, draped over a fire, so it, like, slowly, like, cooks her to death. It's grisly. But, you know, I love it. I like it. Of course, there's some things I don't like about it too, just like a lot of people feel. But I actually like it. I thought it was nice. And then there's Freddy versus Jason, which I actually like. It's like a guilty pleasure movie of mine. I like the story of it. Some of the effects in it are kind of bad, but, you know, I still enjoy it. I like whenever Freddy and Jason are on screen together. It's just a nice kind of contrast, because Freddy is so charismatic and outspoken and everything like that, and then Jason's just, like, tall, dark, and silent. So, you know, it's a nice contrast. And I like seeing, like, you know, their advantages and weaknesses paired up against each other. Like, how Freddy is obviously, like, faster and probably smarter than Jason is, but, you know, Jason's just, like, so much stronger than he is, like, physically speaking, anyway. One part that I thought was kind of stupid about that movie is the fact that Jason is afraid of water. Now, the concept of Jason being afraid of water isn't stupid in my opinion, because it does kind of make sense. You know, he drowned, or at least almost did, so it would make sense for him to be, you know, afraid of water after that. But it was like a stat, but it's like, it's never been shown that he was afraid of water in previous films. In fact, we've even, like, seen him be in water just fine in previous films. So like, while it makes sense for him to be afraid, it's clear that he isn't, and that they just kind of pulled that out of their ass. But, yeah, anyway, can't change anything about it now. I really wish that original plan to make a sequel to that came out, but, yeah. Guess we'll just have to wait. Hopefully it comes out one day. Now, let's move into the next one that I really like. And that is, okay, so I kind of have a lot of, like, classic favorite franchises, so I'm just going to kind of lump them all into one, otherwise I'm going to be here all day. I love the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. Freddy's great. I like that every sentence he says ends with bitch. Again, some of the later films are just campy and just aren't that good. But the earlier ones in the franchise are all pretty good. The kills are really good in that franchise. They're really creative. And I like Freddy's power set and everything like that. I think he's a great villain. Very charismatic. The remake was disappointing. Hellraiser. I love the Hellraiser franchise. Hellraiser 1, absolutely amazing. Cenobites are great. I love the effects. I love the makeup. I love the story. I love everything about it. Part 1 is absolutely amazing. Part 2, still really good. Has a few more flaws, but still a great watch. Part 3, I still like it. I still like Part 3, but you can kind of tell stuff starts kind of going downhill at Part 3. Still a lot to enjoy, in my opinion, just not as good. And you can kind of tell the franchise is starting to go downhill. Part 4 is where things start getting kind of bad. and the less said about the two most recent ones, the better. As the second to most recent one was made in like a couple weeks, I think. And it was just so that they could keep the rights, and it was terrible. And then the most recent one is just also bad. Not really much else to say about it. First three are great. And then pretty much everything after that is kind of bad. Main reason for that is most of those ones weren't even meant to be Hellraiser films, but they were just like, they were just horror films that they didn't like. So they're just like, throw in the Cenobites in there, make it a Hellraiser film, then maybe we'll get some sales out of it, which is disappointing. But the kills stay pretty good throughout the entire franchise, in my opinion, at least for the most part. Next one. I think that's all I'm going to cover for classics for now. I'll probably have their own podcast episodes where I just talk about the entire franchise as a whole for like 40 minutes. But yeah, this was just kind of a general rough outline of the ones that I like. I do like some of the other ones like Scream and Child's Play and stuff like that, but I haven't seen all the ones in those franchises for myself, so I don't want to really talk about something I don't know a lot about. So I'll have to cover those another day. More individual movies that I really, really like. Train to Busan. Of course, as I've talked about in depth in a lot of other podcast episodes. Well, not really in depth, but I've recommended it before. Train to Busan, fantastic zombie film. Great characters, great acting, great effects. And my God, I've never cried so much in a horror movie before. Not out of fear, but out of like genuine sadness. And that's just because the writing is so great and the characters are so great and lovable. I haven't seen the sequel yet, but I really want to. There's an animated prequel to it called Soul Station, which is also really good that you should check out. It's a South Korean zombie film, in my opinion. I kind of agree with this one YouTuber called Wow Such Gaming. He's a really great YouTuber. He covers like a lot of zombie stuff and then some other stuff as well. Go check him out. I agree with his statement where he said that Train to Busan taught Americans how to make a zombie film. And yeah, I really agree with that because for the most part, I know there are good American zombie films out there, but for the most part, a lot of zombie films are just really, really trash. You can tell that they're just zombie films for the sake of, there's zombie nerds out there, they'll buy it regardless, so, you know, we'll make a quick buck out of it. But with Train to Busan, there's genuine heart and people genuinely trying to make a good film. You should check it out. Let's see, another one here that I want to talk about. I'm debating which one I should talk about. I already talked about Frankenstein.
Oh, but I didn't really talk about the movie. I just kind of talked about the whole concept. So yeah, Frankenstein. And I'm going to be talking about the 1931 Frankenstein movie. I know there's been a lot that came after it and before it. But for this episode, I'm just going to talk about the 1931 version. I think it was 1931. It's the classic black and white one that everyone thinks about, you know, which one I'm talking about. That film is actually really good, especially for its time. I thought it was done really well. I like a lot of the acting in it. One thing that I got to question, though, is the scientist isn't named Victor Frankenstein. I forget his first name. It's something Frankenstein. But then there's another character in the film who is named Victor. So I'm like questioning, like, why would you change his first name and then like give his first name to another character? It just makes it really confusing. Because like whenever they say Victor in the film, I automatically think Victor Frankenstein because that's the name of the book and stuff. But then they're not actually talking about Victor Frankenstein, they're talking about the other character Victor, and it just makes things like really confusing. One thing that I really was surprised for in that film is that they killed a child, which is like kind of something that horror movies even today kind of shy away from, like killing like, you know, full-grown adults or even like teenagers is one thing, but like they tend to shy away from killing like literal children just because they're worried that that's taking it too far. But this film made all the way back in 1931 did it, which is insane in my opinion. And what's really tragic about it is that it's done on accident. Frankenstein's monster kills her by accident by throwing her into a lake because they were like playing. He just like didn't really know what he was doing. So he threw her into the lake and then she drowned because I assumed she couldn't swim. But yeah, one thing though is that Dr. Frankenstein in that film is literally just invincible. He gets thrown out of a windmill, then lands on one of the blades of the windmill, or I guess fan, whatever you would call it, on a windmill. He lands on it and then falls off of that and lands on the ground, and he's completely fine. I guess that's just a product of its time. You know, they can't show grisly deaths. I guess they can just show grisly injuries, I guess. But then again, earlier in the film, they killed the kid, so I wonder why they pulled their punches with that. But, yeah. Also, since it was made in 1931, a lot of the fight scenes in that movie are, you know, old-timey type fight scenes. Basically meaning they couldn't have anything overly violent in them, so there's no, like, actual punches thrown. There's just, like, they just kind of, like, wrestle with each other a little bit. Which is how a lot of fight scenes were in that era, because rules on films were really, really strict, and you couldn't show a lot of violence in films like that. Which is another thing, like, I'm shocked it's as good as it is given the time it was made, because that was like a really restrictive time for filmmaking. You couldn't really show a lot of violent type stuff in those days. But yeah, very good film. One thing that I thought was interesting is that I said this in my Frankenstein video, but how he resurrects, like how he brings the monster to life with the lightning and the whole "it's alive" stuff was all made in that film. Like that's where it comes from. It doesn't come from the book. In the book we never know how he brings how he animates the creature back to life. That film just made that up on its own, which I gotta commemorate it for, because you know it stuck with us for nearly 100 years. But yeah, that's Frankenstein. I also want to talk about some of the film adaptations of Bram Stoker's Dracula. The film adaptations, not the book, that's for another day. A lot of them are really good. I like their different versions of it. The Christopher Lee ones are all good. The classics are all good too. Again, a lot of the like old ones, the Universal ones, they suffer from a lot of the same problems with Frankenstein, and you know, that being a product of their time. But you know, And then a lot of the modern ones, like Christopher Lee's ones, they're all really good too. I just really like the character of Dracula. Dracula Untold. It's not one of my favorites. It does a lot of things wrong, in my opinion. I think his powers are really cool, though. I thought that was a nice addition. But, yeah, other than that, it's weird. But, anyway. There's some other good horror movies that I have. As Above, So Below. Really good movie. Yeah, there's a few dumb decisions made in that film, but for the most part, I really like it. I really like the story. I like the characters. It does a great job of setting up a good atmosphere, especially if you're claustrophobic. yeah, a lot of characters get stuck in holes. but, you know, it really, like, sells that whole tight feeling, how they're in the catacombs, and you know, they gotta make sure they're not getting stuck, and they also gotta avoid dangers around every corner. And a lot of like mystery is in the movie, because you don't, a lot of times you don't know what's going to be dangerous and what's not going to be dangerous, so it kind of keeps you on your toes. Another movie similar in that vein is It just escaped my mind. Hang on, I gotta Google it. Oh, what's the movie? Oh, The Descent. Yeah, I didn't have to Google it after all. It's called The Descent. Descent, really good movie. Again, really good acting. A big part of what makes like good horror movies is good acting, because there's a lot of just by the numbers horror films that just do not have good acting, and it just really does not sell the film if they have horrible acting. So that's why, like, I keep sounding like a broken record when I say, oh, you know, this film, I really like it, it has good acting. That's because, like, part of what makes a good film is that the acting is good. So, yeah. The Descent, good movie. Again, good characters for the same reason. And I keep saying that for the same reason as why the good acting. It's so scary. Again, you know, claustrophobic aspects of them being in a cave. And then it also works as a creature feature, because there's these, weird people, or they're monsters, I guess, but, you know, they're kind of like people. These monsters that, like, adapted to living in the cave, so they're blind, but they operate on echolocation, so, you know, like, you just desperately hope that the characters don't make any noise. So whenever it's quiet, you're on the edge of your seat wondering, like, oh, like, if so much as a rock falls, they're screwed and stuff like that. And also then just trying to maneuver through the cave as they get lost and everything like that. It's just, oh, it makes me not want to go spelunking. It makes me, like, want to stay far away from caves. It's like, I just don't want to get lost, and I just don't want those, I'm not sure if they have a name, but, like, I just don't want those creatures to be suddenly real. the second one was not done as well, in my opinion. It's not as creepy. The environment isn't done as well, in my opinion, and it's just not as good. Just kind of do yourself a favor and maybe not watch the second one. But yeah, that's The Descent. Great film. Let's see. One more, like, obscure. Ooh, The Lighthouse. I love The Lighthouse. It's a trippy movie. Don't watch it at 3 a.m. I watched it at 3 a.m. and my God, I was like sitting there like, my brain being, like, turned into mush as I, like, questioned everything at 3 a.m. My eyes were, like, strained open. Like, I felt like that, I felt like the guy in A Clockwork Orange when he's, strapped up to the thing that's keeping his eyes open, except, like, it's the movie that's keeping my eyes open because I don't want to miss anything. and like I'm tired and I'm so entranced by the film and everything it's portraying. It's just, it's really good. The acting is really good again. I like how they talk like sailors from around that time because it makes so much sense. It's just done really, really well. And I love the psychological horror of it. I like a lot of the physical horrors of it, too. It kind of has a somewhat Lovecraftian vibe to it as well, and I really like that. I also like how it constantly keeps you on your toes and keeps you questioning things. Like, you know, is this real or is this in one of the characters' heads? Is only one of the characters real? Are they both real? Or are even neither of them real? What really happened in both of the characters' pasts? Are they lying to each other? Or is just one of them lying? I really like it. It's just, I love movies that make me think like that. Watch it with subtitles because sometimes some of the sailor dialect is kind of hard to understand, but yeah. Great film. Love it. Highly recommend it. Trying to think of another one. These episodes aren't really scripted. I'm just thinking on my toes here. let's see here. Another classic that I forgot to mention. The Halloween franchise. It's absolutely amazing, especially the early ones. Halloween 1, the original, the OG, is really, really good. Highly recommend it. It's a great watch, especially on Halloween. It's just really good. And I precedes like Jason and Freddy and stuff like that. The second one is also good. The third one exists. Moving on. Halloween 4 is bad. and then just kind of like a lot of them after that are bad. The first Rob Zombie one is okay. The second Rob Zombie one is not that good. in my opinion, I would have liked it more if those two films weren't Halloween films. I probably would have liked those more, but other than that, yeah, they're just meh. They're just kind of eh movies. Halloween H2O is good, and then the one after that I don't like. the one that came out in 2018 is good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I like the story that it went down. I like how it portrayed a lot of the characters. And man, I'm still upset that that movie was supposed to come out this year in October in 2020, but then it got pushed back to October of 2021 because of the state of the world right now. And I'm still angry about it, and no, I will never stop being angry about it. I can't wait for it, but man, it sucks to know that I could have been watching it this month. Well, anyway, moving on. Again, don't worry, I know I'm like really paraphrasing here, but I'll make their own podcast episodes. Like, I'll have a whole podcast devoted to the Friday the 13th franchise and Halloween and all that, so don't worry, those will come later. I know I'm paraphrasing, but let's see here. I think I'm gonna cut it there for now. I don't want this to get too long. I know some of my previous episodes have been like 40 minutes long, but I found that it's easier to watch if I cut it down to around 30 minutes. I'm just gonna give some quick updates on the podcast as a whole. As you guys have noticed, I have fallen behind again. Yay! That's just because of school again, as it always is. school is keeping me really, really busy, especially because I have to play catch up in some of my classes because the people on eBay decided to ship my books really slowly, and one just never came at all. So yeah, just kind of bear with me. When this semester's over, I will be completely on track, so don't worry. Just kind of hang in there until December. But yeah, again, as I mentioned earlier, I have a microphone now, so the audio is going to be a much better quality. In case you were wondering, I know I mentioned this in a previous episode, but yes, this coming Friday, you will have your usual podcast episode, and then the next day on Halloween, you will be getting a special episode where I will be interviewing a fellow horror YouTuber. So really keep your eyes out for that. It's coming out on Halloween. It's a holiday special, and it's like a really extended episode. I go into a really in-depth interview with these guys, and I think you're really going to like it. So yeah, Halloween, coming out Halloween. So yeah, keep your eye out for that. And the reason why I'm posting so many podcast episodes on the YouTube channel and not so much narrations is because I'm trying to catch up, because I want the Halloween special to come out on Halloween on the YouTube channel as well. So that's why I'm posting so many of those so quickly. But yeah, other than that, channel update done. Favorite horror movies done. But yeah.
Hey guys, Children of the Night here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to today's story, whether it be on YouTube or on the podcast. The YouTube channel can be found at youtube.com/childrenofthenight or link in the description. And the podcast can be found basically anywhere you can find podcasts, such as Spotify, Google, Anchor, like I said, pretty much everywhere. If you are interested in supporting me more than you already are by watching either the podcast or on the YouTube channel, be sure to check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/childrenofthenight, or again, you can just use the link in the description. There you can get access to polls which dictate which horror story I'll narrate next. You can get voice acting roles in the podcast, or you can get early access to these narrations so you can hear them before anyone else. Even if you donate just a dollar, it goes a long way in, you know, keeping the lights on and making the show in higher quality. So thank you so much for anyone who decides to do that. And if you are interested in seeing some horror-related memes or just some minor updates, be sure to check out my Instagram page at childrenofthenight1. And be sure to tune in every single Friday for brand new episodes of the podcast. But until we see each other again, I want to say goodnight and sweet dreams to all my fellow children of the night.